This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Memphis police have deactivated the Scorpion unit, which was involved in the beating death of Tyre Nichols. CBS's Jared Hill is in Memphis.
It's a move that demonstrators in Memphis and Nichols' family have been calling for. But members of the community say action shouldn't stop there.
So the multi-level gang unit, the organized crime unit, all work under the same umbrella as the Scorpion unit, and they all be disbanded as well.
You know, there have been scattered reports of abuses by the Scorpion unit.
District Attorney Steve Mulroy credited Memphis Police Chief C.J. Davis for taking decisive action.
I mean, if there are five different individuals acting that way, you have to wonder whether there's a problem of culture.
Five Memphis police officers involved in that beating have been fired and are charged with second-degree murder. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy will meet with President Biden this Wednesday to discuss the debt ceiling. McCarthy tells CBS spending cuts must be part of that discussion.
If you look at the last 4 years, the Democrats have increased spending by 30%, $400 billion. We're at 120% of GDP. We haven't been in this place to debt since World War II, so we can't continue down this path.
McCarthy also says Republicans will not allow the U.S. to default on its loans. President Biden's approval ratings do not seem to be affected by the discovery of classified documents at his home in Wilmington, Delaware. Jennifer DePinto is CBS's Deputy Director of Surveys.
More Americans think the Biden administration is handling the classified documents investigation well than badly, as most, 61%, feel Biden has tried to cooperate with the investigation. And so far, this situation has not impacted overall ratings of the president. His approval rating is at 44%, unchanged from a few weeks ago.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speaking through an interpreter about his government's responses to recent terrorist attacks.
His home will be demolished. We decided on denying social security rights for terror-supporting families. And the government will discuss further steps, among them revoking ID cards and residency from families of terrorists that support terror.
Concern over a shortage of primary care doctors.
Primary care physician Tom Bledsoe is president of the Rhode Island Medical Society.
In the practice of medicine, primary care is competing with other specialties.
Bledsoe says many primary care doctors are nearing retirement age, and most medical students now choose specialties over primary care.
CBS's Jim Krasula. Novak Djokovic has won his 10th Australian Tennis Open. Djokovic is on track to take the number one world tennis ranking. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The long-term effects of Wisconsin's redistricting process were apparent in the November elections. A nonpartisan good government group says voters who feel overlooked should not give up. Mike Moen reports.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers won re-election, but Republicans maintained strong control over the legislature. Jay Heck of the group Common Cause points out that Evers maintains his veto power, but he says Republicans still carry a lot of weight, partly because they keep redrawing the maps to their advantage.
There were more votes cast for Democratic candidates statewide than Republican, but the contrast with the legislative elections in the state is so sharp, it almost makes laughable the idea that we have a true representative democracy.
Researchers have said that over the past decade, Wisconsin has produced among the most gerrymandered voting district maps in the country. Heck says voters should look ahead to next year's state Supreme Court election with the hope a less politicized court could eventually revisit the issue. And there could be legislation floated again next year to develop an independent redistricting process. In the meantime, he says the current maps allow a smaller percentage of voters to decide who controls the legislature, leaving other voters behind in fair representation.
Urban areas in Wisconsin have suffered a decline in the shared revenue from the state, even though those people pay taxes.
Heck says that means less support for schools, roads, and other public needs. Analysts say lawmakers representing these areas get packed into boundaries that ultimately diminish their voices at the state capitol. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24-7 at waukradio.com. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
I think the worst thing that can happen is probably, you know, some exploding bottles.
¿Te tiene agobiado tu trabajo? ¿Sueñas con una carrera profesional donde puedas ganar más dinero y te sientas apreciado? Si tu respuesta es afirmativa, entonces Sigma Castings, una división de Sigma Engineered Solutions en Marquesan y Jackson, es tu respuesta. Son más que una empresa, son una familia de expertos dedicados que abarcan continentes. Te harán sentir apreciado de muchas maneras. Por ejemplo, el nivel básico de pago es de $18 por hora con revisiones periódicas de rendimiento. Después de los primeros 90 días de empleo, tendrás derecho a 80 horas de vacaciones, más 11 feriados pagados. Aún más, ganarías un bono de $2,000 por permanecer en tu puesto. Te ofrecen un paquete de beneficios robusto, con primas bajas y excelente cobertura, y su plan de retiro 401k te va a impresionar. Se está contratando ahora para el primer turno, lunes a viernes, de 5 de la mañana a 2 de la tarde. Empieza tu nueva carrera ya con Sigma Castings en Marquesan y Jackson. Encuéntralos en Indeed o llama a 920-260-8560 y levántate en la mañana feliz de ir al trabajo.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 20. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies again tonight. A few flurries possible at times. Lows level off around 4 above. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. A few flurries possible at times. Daytime highs approaching 8 above. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 16 degrees.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
I think the worst thing that can happen is probably, you know, some exploding bottles.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Memphis police have disbanded the Scorpion unit. It included those five officers seen brutally beating Tyre Nichols. Reporter Chris Fox is in Memphis.
In a statement, the Nichols family, through its attorney Ben Crump, have called dismantling the Memphis Police Scorpion unit appropriate and proportional to the tragic death of Tyre, but also just the next step on the journey for justice and accountability.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy tells CBS he'll be discussing the debt ceiling with President Biden this Wednesday.
So I want to sit down together, work out an agreement that we can move forward to put us on a path to balance, at the same time not put any of our debt in jeopardy at the same time.
Three people killed, four injured in the sixth mass shooting in California this month, this one in the Beverly Crest area.
Authorities say the residence where the shooting happened is a short-term rental and that there was a gathering of some sort when gunfire rang out.
I was shocked and I felt horrible.
CBS News Brief.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Are you dreading going into work every day? Do you want a career where you can earn more and feel appreciated? If you answered yes, then Sigma Castings, a division of Sigma Engineered Solutions in Marcus Ann and Jackson, is your answer. They are more than a company. They are a family of dedicated experts that span the continents. Here are a few ways they make you feel appreciated. Entry-level pay is $18 an hour with regular performance reviews. After 90 days, you get 80 hours of vacation plus 11 paid holidays. They will give you a $2,000 sign-on, stay-on bonus. They offer a robust benefit package with low premiums and great coverage, and their 401k will blow you away. Now hiring first shift, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. till 2 p.m. Start your new career today at Sigma Castings in Marquezan and Jackson. Find them on Indeed or call 920-260-8560 and wake up happy to go to work.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2.
Let me tell you. One for you, 19 for me.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Jane Matinere is on the board. No matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in. And a reminder that if you miss any part of the today's show, you can always listen to it as a podcast, which you can find on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts. And today, I know you're right on this, Jane, but today is the first day that you can start turning in your taxes. They're starting to accept if you want to get your tax refund. I don't know if I'll get a tax refund or not this year,
really?
But we'll find out. But with that, we thought we maybe would talk a little bit more about what future taxes could potentially look like in the great state of Wisconsin. So Dr. Phil Rocco is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University, and this is his, I think, third time joining us on the show.
Threepeat? Is that a hat trick?
Threepeat. I like that. Yeah. So friend of the show, officially, I would say. And
all right.
I invited you on because back in election season, when the flat tax was just an idea that Tim Michaels kind of threw out there, and then the conservatives were very upset that people took him at his word. Well, it's not actually a plan. And now we actually do have a plan. But in the hypothetical stages, you wrote a guest article for Recombobulation Area about what a flat tax would do for most of us in Wisconsin. And it was great. It was very detailed. And now we actually have a plan that has been proposed that would take, I think, is it 3.25? A flat tax of 3.25%?
Right.
So
yeah, it would be a flat tax of 3.25%.
Which is pretty low.
Yes.
Which is pretty low.
Like for comparison, like right now, the tax rates go from 3.45, I think, all the way up to 7.56% for the top bracket. So that's a lot of revenue disappearing overnight. And the thing that was interesting was that when we wrote that piece back in the fall, like there were two different versions of the flat tax that were sort of floating out there. One of them was a flat tax with a like a slightly higher rate, which meant that, you know, some people's taxes would in fact go up. Lower income folks' taxes would go up, but you wouldn't have, you know, as much revenue disappearing. The other option was this kind of flat tax, which just brings down the top rates to the lowest, or in this case, below the lowest rate. And what it means in practical terms are, is two things. One is that it's going to be, it can only be described as sort of like a bonanza for people at the top part of the income distribution. So the richest 1.4% of taxpayers under this proposal get one third of the total kind of benefits, right? In terms, in monetary terms.
And how many people does that end up being? Is that just like,
I mean, one.
So it's 1% of our population?
Right. That's, yeah, it's a pretty small number. So, I mean, I think, yeah, just a pretty small number of taxpayers.
And do we know what threshold of how much those people are making?
Just, I mean, so that's the 1.4%, that's people making 500,000 and over.
Okay.
Right. So they're going to see, that 1.4% is going to see about, a one third of the tax breaks. The, 70% of the taxpayers are going to receive only about 17.8% of the total tax cut. So, I mean, you know, in practical terms, this is not going to be, there's going to be like a few movies and maybe dinner, you know, per year for most filers. But for the people at the top of the income distribution, it's like a windfall. It's a lot. So that's the first thing, just in terms of like, you know, the rates, you know, are going to seem like they come down, right? But in reality, most of the benefit is concentrated at the very top of the income distribution. The only thing, the only other thing, and we can talk about this more maybe, you know, after the break, is that it's not just who the tax cuts are going to. It's also the fact that every year when this is fully implemented, over $5 billion in revenue is just going to disappear. And if you put that in practical terms, it means that you could cut something like, you know, the entire UW system budget and all funding for corrections, and you would still need to cut more in order to account for that. And you can do all kinds of comparisons, like it's more than four times all state K-12 spending, you know, more than four times like the state and local state. Share revenue to local governments. Like, it's a lot of money.
And, I mean, it's also basically almost as much as our surplus is right now.
Yeah, I mean, so this idea is like the surplus is going to maybe like hide the effects of this for like a year. But then once it's fully implemented, it's a lot of revenue going out the door very, very quickly in a way that would be very dramatically, would result in some dramatic negative economic effects for the state, which we can talk about. But the idea that LeMahieu and Republicans are kind of pushing here is that like the surplus means that we're overtaxed. But the surplus is really sort of like a one-time perfect storm because of a variety of different trends. It's not like part of a bigger trend. So what that means is that once that surplus is gone, this is going to be a dramatic reduction in, or require a dramatic reduction in state spending. Or alternatively, they could just raise, you know, the sales tax, but they'd have to raise it a lot in order to make up the difference, which is, you know, a regressive tax, a tax that's going to fall mostly on working class, middle class folks. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways to like project the future and like how this could work out. But the bottom line is distributionally for most people, this is going to mean not a lot of savings in terms of taxes and potentially huge cuts to vital services that people have come to rely on.
Phil, just a couple things. First of all, I can't be the only person who just lies awake at night, tossing and turning, worried that the wealthiest 1.4% in Wisconsin are struggling to buy a third vacation home. It's so painful, and I've lost so much sleep. But additionally, a couple of years ago, didn't they try this, something like this, in Kansas? And they essentially broke Kansas?
Yes, this is what was called the Kansas experiment, right? What Governor Sam Brownback at the time described as an adrenaline shot in the heart of the Kansas economy. And it was the largest tax cut they'd ever seen in Kansas. It brought down the top rate from like 6.4% down to 4.9%. So that the wealthiest people were paying basically the same marginal rate as the middle class. And the idea was that plus a bunch of different other things, we're going to generate all of this new investment in Kansas. Employers were going to start setting up shop there. You're going to see this huge kind of multiplier effect. In fact, the reverse happened, right? So what that meant was that the state had to slash spending in fairly exorbitant ways, right? Cutting money for highways, cutting money for the state Medicaid program, cutting money for schools, like so that janitors and librarians couldn't get hired. And what that did was it reduced all of the sort of like economic multiplier effect that government spending has. So like when government spends, it means that people have contracts, private contractors who do business with the government get hired. But there are all of these sort of attendant knock-on effects of government spending. And as a result, when you simply cut, Kansas cut a great deal, it basically meant that it couldn't fund a lot of these programs. And actually, it made it much sort of less attractive to come into the state because the state just wasn't offering a lot of services. So population growth kind of flattened out. And then by any sort of like any economic indicator, job growth, economic development or investment, the state just started tanking. And so by August 2014, S&P downgraded the state's credit rating. Like it was an economic disaster of unmitigated proportions that ultimately like led to Sam Brownback, who was once, I think, seen as a kind of potential presidential contender. It was a disgrace for him, and he sort of like left public life.
Oh my gosh.
Right. And so it's really hard to overstate just like what a just political and economic disaster was. And then guess what? They ended up repealing it because it was such a disaster.
So we're talking to Dr. Phil Rocco, who is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University, about the proposed flat tax in Wisconsin. And has anyone ran that Kansas story by Lamahieu and Voss and been like, hey, how would we make it not? How would we avoid being like Kansas?
Well, there's this like alternative, like this like a speculative fiction universe of like what people say the whole Kansas experiment was really about. Like, so there's a whole like literature, like literature that like comes from conservative think tanks. It's like, no, it actually wasn't, the tax cuts that caused all of these things. And they point to like any number of like a concatenation of other factors. Like, well, it must have been something else, right? But when you look at Kansas and you can just do the comparison to all of its neighboring states, that all of the different things that people suggest were going on in Kansas, they were also going on in those neighboring states. And what happened was like none of those neighboring states faced essentially the economic cliff that Kansas did. And so it's really hard to conclude that it's not the, you know, this Kansas experiment. But the thing is, it's really inconvenient for them to talk about this. I mean, it's because it's a really great example of just what it means to get rid of. So like the argument that I think is being made is that like a lot of this spending that's going on is like wasteful, right? And that like it's not a big deal to cut over $5 billion a year because there's so much waste. But the reality is like, waste or, you know, waste, fraud, and abuse, like, is a really, really small percentage, right? If you were able to, like, calculate it, it's, like, really small percentage of what government actually does. And most of what government does is actually help to stimulate economic growth in the, you know, a variety of regions in the state. And so when you just I think people can't actually conceptualize what that scale of cuts means for their everyday life, for the highways, right? You think about like the worst highway you've ever driven on in Wisconsin and imagine it getting perpetually worse. Like that's what $5 billion a year in outflow of revenue, you know, will make happen. Alternatively, you know, it's like a sale, potentially like that spending cuts plus a prohibitively high sales tax for a lot of people. So the argument I think that is getting made is that like that somehow this is going to induce population growth in the state and that it's actually like the progressivity of the tax code that's inhibiting that. The thing I would point to is that the projected population growth for Minnesota, more progressive tax code, is 12% out to 2040. Wisconsin's is already only 3% projected population growth out to 2040. There's no way on earth that, you know, what's going on here or what might be going on here is a, you know, a population surge as a result of a flat tax. There's, you know, it defies the most basic common sense to make that argument.
And we can keep talking about it after the break because we only have about 2 minutes left before we have to go to the commercial, but it's also because I hear this a lot and you think of like the states that are growing fastest, a lot of them do have sometimes no income tax, Texas, Florida. They're also, I always say this, they're also a lot warmer than us, but I think that's so interesting to compare it to Minnesota, who's arguably colder than us. And you had to be like a Vikings fan, but you know, and the fact that I didn't know that discrepancy as far as what their population trend has been, despite it being a much more, it's in the last 12, 13 years, like the discrepancy between policies and how much they've been different with all things being the same as far as weather, climate, culture. And so we'll talk more about that when we get back.
Yeah, but also, absolutely.
Yeah. And there's so many different ways I wanted to go with this and we'll only have you for 8 minutes. So we'll just have to have you back, but stay with us. Dr. Phil Rocco is here. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
¿Te tiene agobiado tu trabajo? ¿Sueñas con una carrera profesional donde puedas ganar más dinero y te sientas apreciado? Si tu respuesta es afirmativa, entonces Sigma Castings, una división de Sigma Engineered Solutions en Marquesan y Jackson, es tu respuesta. Son más que una empresa, son una familia de expertos dedicados que abarcan continentes. Te harán sentir apreciado de muchas maneras. Por ejemplo, el nivel básico de pago es de $18 por hora con revisiones periódicas de rendimiento. Después de los primeros 90 días de empleo, tendrás derecho a 80 horas de vacaciones más 11 feriados pagados. Aún más, ganarías un bono de $2,000 por permanecer en tu puesto. Te ofrecen un paquete de beneficios robusto, con primas bajas y excelente cobertura, y su plan de retiro 401k te va a impresionar. Se está contratando ahora para el primer turno, lunes a viernes, de 5 de la mañana a 2 de la tarde. Empieza tu nueva carrera ya con Sigma Castings en Marquesan y Jackson. Encuéntralos en Indeed o llama a 920-260-8560 y levántate en la mañana feliz de ir al trabajo.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 20. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies again tonight. A few flurries possible at times. Lows level off around 4 above. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. A few flurries possible at times. Daytime highs approaching 8 above. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 18 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM. Brookfield's choice for News Talk Radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are talking to Dr. Phil Rocco, who is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University, about the potential implications of a Wisconsin flat tax, which the current proposal sits at 3.25%, and what that could mean for Wisconsin. And this isn't even before the flat tax. Since I've moved home or moved back, there's been conversations around no income tax and what that could do. Mm-hmm. And there are some states, what is there, like 9 in total that have no income tax? But I think of, you know, Tennessee, Florida, Texas, I think Alaska, maybe Wyoming. But some of the states that can generate enough revenue otherwise to function without having an income tax. So what it kind of has to be in place, as far as you understand it, for a low to no income tax to work in a state?
Yeah. So like some states have deposits of natural resources that they can have franchise taxes on, right? I think about Alaska, you know, out west, there are states that just have a naturally occurring resource that you can sort of tax and generate revenue off of that. Okay. Other states have booming industries that bring in people who don't live in the state as tourists frequently, and you can use sales taxes much more effectively there because, you know, you have such a kind of booming tourist industry in dollar terms, right? So what ultimately you have to do if you don't want to have an income tax is like one option is you have to have some other sort of resource there. It's like a special tax that you can just leverage. The other thing you could do is create a really regressive tax code, right? That where you're relying on taxes that mainly fall on people who are poor, or, you know, working class, middle class folks, rely more heavily on property tax, which is something that states, you know, used to do. Wisconsin was one of the big pioneers in the early 20th century, 1911, in really moving the state to a progressive income tax because property is so hard to effectively and efficiently tax without, you know, a measure of corruption kind of getting involved there. So that was the big complaint about in the 19th century. It's really easy to hide property value and property wealth, especially back then. The other thing that you can do is just like slash services and just like, you know, make government a lot less effective at doing the things we expected to do. And that's something that you definitely see in states that don't have kind of effective income tax regimes. But I think the thing that ultimately, you know, is sort of happening in Wisconsin is, you know, essentially every time the state cuts taxes, and by the way, we are already at the lowest mm-hmm. level of tax collection, lowest rate of tax collection on record, right? That's how much taxes have come down since the 1990s. Like it is, we have really sucked out a lot of revenue in the state. And what that means, it's not like the demand goes away. It just means that either we're saying, you know, that we're not going to meet that demand, or we're pushing off the responsibility onto other levels of government, like local governments, or which is why you see so many bond measures and millage increases in school districts now, right? Because there's still demand. We still have to pay for things.
Yeah.
Unless you just want, you know, the basic services that we expect as a society just fall apart. And it's also, I think, why governments are in such a, local governments are in such a difficult position right now, an increasingly impossible one. That's the sort of bigger picture here. It's like, you know, it's easy to say or easy to sort of have this concept, like we're going to, you know, decrease taxes, step two, question mark, step two, step three, profit, right? The South Park underwear gnomes. But I think the bigger thing is that like the population trends in Wisconsin are really emblematic of population trends across the country. Like people are moving from colder to warmer climates. Mm-hmm. That is not about taxes.
Yep.
Right. But then you look at Minnesota and it's like, why are people moving to that cold state, which in many cases is like colder than here even, and less so to Wisconsin. And I think one of the really important answers is that you have economic policies that have led to the growth of a thriving, you know, metropolitan region in the Twin Cities, whereas Wisconsin is really disinvested from the economic power, you know, potential economic powerhouses of the state. And I think about the UW system as like one big place that when you cut the UW system, you are cutting an engine of economic growth for the state. That's what you're doing. You can say that you are, you know, sticking it to, you know, quote unquote, like liberal professors and elites and so forth. But what you're doing is you're screwing over the economy of the state.
Yeah. So, I mean, what this all obviously comes down to what will be months from now, the final budget. But it feels like this would be a non-starter as far as something that Governor Evers would sign. But do you think that there's any room for any kind of flat tax, even if it was a little bit higher? Or do you think this is dead in the water?
No, I think this is based. It would be hard to say that this is not, you know, dead in the water. The question is, you know, how much, you know, how much do Republicans want to like press the issue and extend budget negotiations and go to the mats over this, right? Yeah. How long do they want the budget fight effectively to be? And I think, you know, one thing that is going to be interesting is how the narrative about the flat tax kind of spins out there. I think the thing that Republicans, the sort of advantage they, this sort of accrues to them in debates like this is that like not much information gets out there about what the flat tax is because people are like, oh, it's a flat tax. It's simpler. It's, you know, easier. But the way of describing it is this is not a tax cut. This is a change in the way that we're using the power of government to distribute costs and benefits in society. And what this is going to do is redistribute benefits to the top income bracket in the state. And what it's going to mean for the rest of us is, you know, how are we going to fund highway construction? How are we going to fund schools? Mm-hmm. How are we going to do all the things that we need to do? And, you know, maybe you get like 200 additional bucks, you know, if you're at the right part of the income distribution and like
that, you're probably going to be spending on a sales tax anyways.
Yeah,
that'll exactly. Just go immediately to the increases or property taxes.
Property taxes, which continue to go up, right? Somebody pays somewhere.
Exactly. All right. Well, Dr. Phil Rocco, thank you so much for joining us and explaining, breaking this down for us. I told at the break, that Kansas story is really something. And so maybe a little bit more noise about that, I think, would be good.
It's
We will have you back soon. Thank you so much for your time, sir. And have a great day.
Be with you, as ever.
All right. Take care. We are going to take go to the top of the hour news, and when we come back, thanks again. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Sucker, I ain't one. From now on, I'm keeping my pay. Ain't gonna need up none. So put your 1044 where the sun don't shine. Straighten out your own damn mess. You can ride.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are talking to Dr. Phil Rocco, who is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University, about the potential implications of a Wisconsin flat tax, which the current proposal sits at 3.25%, and what that could mean for Wisconsin. And this isn't even before the flat tax, since I've moved home or moved back, there's been conversations around no income tax and what that could do. And there are some states, what is there, like 9 in total that have no income tax? But I think of, you know, Tennessee, Florida, Texas, I think Alaska, maybe Wyoming. But some of the states that can generate enough revenue otherwise to function without having an income tax. So what it kind of has to be in place, as far as you understand it, for a low to no income tax to work in a state?
Yeah. So like some states have deposits of natural resources that they can have franchise taxes on, right? I think about Alaska, you know, out west, there are states that just have a naturally occurring resource that you can sort of tax and generate revenue off of that. Okay. Other states have booming industries that bring in people who don't live in the state as tourists frequently. And you can use sales taxes much more effectively there because, you know, you have such a kind of booming tourist industry in dollar terms, right? So what ultimately you have to do if you don't want to have an income tax is like one option is you have to have some other sort of resource there. It's like a special tax that you can just leverage. The other thing you could do is create a really regressive tax code, right? That where you're relying on taxes that mainly fall on people who are poor, or, you know, working class, middle class folks, rely more heavily on property tax, which is something that states, you know, used to do. Wisconsin was one of the big pioneers in the early 20th century, 1911, in really moving the state to a progressive income tax because property is so hard to effectively and efficiently tax without, you know, a measure of corruption kind of getting involved there. So that was the big complaint about in the 19th century. It's really easy to hide property value and property wealth, especially back then. The other thing that you can do is just like slash services and just like, you know, make government a lot less effective at doing the things we expected to do. And that's something that you definitely see in states that don't have kind of effective income tax regimes. But I think the thing that ultimately, you know, is sort of happening in Wisconsin is, you know, essentially every time the state cuts taxes, and by the way, we are already at the lowest level of tax collection, lowest rate of tax collection on record, right? That's how much taxes have come down since the 1990s. Like it is, we have really sucked out a lot of revenue in the state. And what that means, it's not like the demand goes away. It just means that either we're saying, you know, that we're not going to meet that demand, or we're pushing off the responsibility onto other levels of government, like local governments, or which is why you see so many bond measures and millage increases in school districts now, right? Because there's still demand. We still have to pay for things.
Yeah.
Unless you just want, you know, the basic services that we expect as a society just fall apart. And it's also, I think, why governments are in such a, local governments are in such a difficult position right now, an increasingly impossible one. That's the sort of bigger picture here. It's like, you know, it's easy to say or easy to sort of have this concept, like we're going to, you know, decrease taxes, step two, question mark, step two, step three, profit, right? The South Park underwear gnomes. But I think the bigger thing is that like the population trends in Wisconsin are really emblematic of population trends across the country. Like people are moving from colder to warmer climates. Mm-hmm. That is not about taxes.
Yep.
Right. But then you look at Minnesota and it's like, why are people moving to that cold state, which in many cases is like colder than here even, and less so to Wisconsin. And I think one of the really important answers is that you have economic policies that have led to the growth of a thriving, you know, metropolitan region in the Twin Cities, whereas Wisconsin is really disinvested from the economic power, you know, potential economic powerhouses of the state. And I think about the UW system as like one big place that when you cut the UW system, you are cutting an engine of economic growth for the state. That's what you're doing. You can say that you are, you know, sticking it to, you know, quote unquote, like liberal professors and elites and so forth. But what you're doing is you're screwing over the economy of the state.
Yeah. So, I mean, what this all obviously comes down to what will be months from now, the final budget. But it feels like this would be a non-starter as far as something that Governor Evers would sign. But do you think that there's any room for any kind of flat tax, even if it was a little bit higher? Or do you think this is dead in the water?
No, I think this is based. It would be hard to say that this is not, you know, dead in the water. The question is, you know, how much, you know, how much do Republicans want to like press the issue and extend budget negotiations and go to the mats over this, right? Yeah. How long do they want the budget fight effectively to be? And I think, you know, one thing that is going to be interesting is how the narrative about the flat tax kind of spins out there. I think the thing that Republicans, the sort of advantage they, this sort of accrues to them in debates like this is that like not much information gets out there about what the flat tax is because people are like, oh, it's a flat tax. It's simpler. It's, you know, easier. But the way of describing it is this is not a tax cut. This is a change in the way that we're using the power of government to distribute costs and benefits in society. And what this is going to do is redistribute benefits to the top.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.